we've done it, Ferb. We brought the entire convention center to the brink of an inter-genre geek war.
Who doesn't remember turbo-ribbing young punk? I mean, come on.
Then we'd better do it fast. Look!
The sun blazes red over the convention center, as red as the dawn of all who entered the swamp through the hearts into this fearless choir.
Hello and welcome to episode 53, day 53, here on the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve Joan Mike. Joining me is Pecan Broke Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Today is the 53rd day of summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN continues our new cartoon review podcast for the summers of 2016 and 2017. So are we ready to celebrate 10 years of Phineas and Ferb by talking about Nerds of a Feather?
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, boy. What a way to follow up Summer Belongs to You.
This isn't terrible.
I mean, no, it's a good episode. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I'm surprised they tried to follow up a movie with two parters.
I like that though, because it shows continual stories, and it's just, I would rather have that than just two single episodes with 2 11-minute. Like if you took Nerds of a Feather parts 1 and 2 and Wizard of Odd parts 1 and 2 and put them and move them with We Call It Maze and Ladies and Gentlemen Meet Max Modem and then Secret of Success and Deuce Side of the Moon, if you took those and moved them up next to Summer Belongs to You, that would feel a little weird. But I like the two-parters right after Summer Belongs to You, because it really feels like the last few days that we've been doing this between Summer Belongs to You. Before that it was Hawaiian Vacation parts 1 and 2, so Hawaiian Vacation, Summer Belongs to You, and then Nerds and Odd. So it feels, you know, yes, Nerds are odd. We are.
So it seems almost like they're relying on the two-parters nowadays.
No, not really.
No, it's a four-parter.
No, it's
Summer Belongs to You, four-parter.
It's just a section of the season that kind of happened with, and I don't think that's going to happen much more between season 3 and season 4. And I don't mind it, honestly, because it's easier, not easier storytelling, but it's nice seeing full stories as 30-minute episode cartoons. Don't get me wrong, I like all the individual 11-minute cartoons, but sometimes you need a larger story at times.
Sure, I'll buy that.
For a dollar.
Ha ha!
Okay.
Okay. Maybe Speckies and Finkies have more in common than they do differences.
Oh, bite this prop tongue from episode 8.
Have you ever tried talking to them?
Talk? Have you met the leader of the Finkies?
I'm sure you're wondering why I, Buford, have taken a leadership role in such a geek-centered enterprise. Well, take a look around. This place is crawling with nerds. I'm like a kid in a candy store. Plus, I relate to the character of Odolf Underhump and his complex emotional inner journey.
I seriously doubt this will work. Buford is not a man of peace.
Nonsense. I'm sure he'll be reasonable.
Hey, no space bunnies allowed.
I am not a bunny rabbit. I am an Almordian Venkslot. sloth.
It's time to end this silly feud so we can all enjoy Clive Addison's special effects presentation. Baljeet, you prepared a peace treaty?
I did. We Speckies vow to live in peace and harmony with you Finkies. All we ask is that you admit Space Adventure is much better than Stumbleberry Finkbat, and that you have brought eternal shame to your families forever believing otherwise.
That's not...
Oh, yeah? You and what army?
Your question makes no sense as a response to what I just said.
Well, how about yes?
All right, so it is war, then!
Bring it on, Speckies. We're gonna go all Hyborian age on you.
That is not even a real age!
To quote Lump Shark Fork from Space Adventure 16, Glorf.
Glorf!
So, for Nerds of a Feather, Phineas and Ferb head to the Tri-State area's annual sci-fi and fantasy convention to meet their hero, Kevin Smith. What the hell? Special effects guru Clive Addison. Their plan gets sidetracked when they're swept into a duel between the fantasy fans and the sci-fi geeks. Meanwhile, Candace tries to keep secret that she's a fan of Ducky Momo. Another
teenager.
Convention staple. Another convention staple. Across the convention hall, Dr. Doofenshmirtz has taken a television executive, Jeff McGarland, hostage.
Seth MacFarlane?
No.
No, that was somebody else, sorry.
Yeah. Hostage, so he can pitch him a show he's developed called Doof and Puss.
I would watch that.
Ninja vampires, I hate these guys.
I would watch that show. There's
nothing worse than a ninja vampire and a zombie pirate.
Random explosions.
Yep. Well, that's a staple of the 80s, so.
I guess. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I like their, I don't want to call it a Knight Rider. It's more of a Knight Rickshaw.
It's...
Jimmy.
Ricky. Oh, God. Ricky. Yeah. Oh,
was it
my...
Ricky?
Yeah, it was...
Ricky the Rickshaw?
Yes. It was... Yeah.
Just kill me.
Would you like to shoot him now, or would you wait? You want to wait till you get home? Shoot him now. Shoot him now. You keep out of this. He doesn't have to shoot you now. He does so have to shoot me now. Oh, Bugs and Daffy. Anyway, but yes, Rick the Rickshaw, which is basically Major Monogram himself, giving them missions. And we've got, you know, a possessed mayor, or fake mayor that is possessed, and the real mayor is tied up in the basement and all of that. The doof plot here is a little... I like the subtle difference of it. Well, it's not really that subtle, but the difference of him pitching somebody a TV show and the fact that the scheme is that they're, you know, these superhero-type characters and they've teamed up. I like that, but what really shines here for me is all of the other convention stuff. The doof plot, I would almost say, is a lesser B story compared to the overall arcing A story of meeting Clive Addison and having the Star Wars fans versus the Lord of the Rings fans and all of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked the Doofenshmirtz side. You got to think, people who do this all the time, who are pitching stories continuously, it's like, who do I pitch a story to? What do I write? What do I put in my story? You know, that these type of problems, they're all being thrown in here by people who do this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they absolutely love it when they get to poke fun at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this just has all of the 80s tropes thrown into it. And here's Doof, you know, kind of writing what he knows for the most part. You know, he didn't throw in a girlfriend for the platypus. But you know,
that would be selling out.
Pitching the story to literally a captive audience.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I liked it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it was dumb, but at the same time, I think the lion's share of it's going to be the lion's share of the episode is going to be the convention, and then kind of like the C story that gets more playtime than I thought it deserved was Ducky Candace Momo. And her Ducky Momo. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I think the reason why they gave that a little bit more playtime in this is because you got to give Candace and Jeremy more continuity. You can't just put them together in Summer Belongs to You, have them have their first kiss and everything else in that, and then not do anything with them the very next episode. So with this, you know, she's trying to hide the... She's trying to hide the fact that she is a, you know, I mean, how many of us are going to admit we are fans of Spider-Man 3? You know what I mean? It's that kind of
honestly, raise your hand if you're Spider-Man 3 and we will shun you.
Well, they did shun her at the end, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, she was a fan of this when she was a kid, and she's still a fan of it when she's a teenager. And it turns out that little Susie is also a fan of Ducky Momo, because little Susie is of the age of, you know, that edutainment type Barney, Blues Clues, Clifford the Big Red Dog, Caillou, who was probably the worst child thing ever, according to a lot of people I know.
The worst, man.
So Susie is of that age, and, you know, she goes running around the convention center after Candace in the Ducky Momo suit. Now, Jeremy and Susie do not know at first that it is Candace in the suit. You know, I love Jeremy's line when Susie first sees the Ducky Momo. He's like, "Oh, that poor sap in the costume." But it gives, what this C story gives between Jeremy, Candace, and Susie is, it actually allows Susie to like Candace without having to try to humiliate her at all. Because Candace is in Ducky Momo suit when Susie loves Ducky Momo. So Susie kind of has, I guess, I don't want to say nostalgia blinders on, because she is so young and she's not... While Susie is, you know, evil incarnate, I mean, this episode, she really wasn't. She was just a kid at heart, as she should be anyway, because she is a kid still.
Right.
So I didn't quite mind the C story, because it had somewhat of a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I like the B story with Doof and Perry and all that. It was just a little bit different. Like, I almost expected Doof to have some sort of innater to make him the star of the convention instead of Clive Addison or something. Or, I mean, I like what they did with it. I like the fact that, you know, you have everything with Doof here. You've got him, you've got Perry, you've got Monogram, and you've got, you know, his brother, the mayor. And as we all know, in most of the schemes, most of them, good majority of them, it's either to embarrass or to, you know, do something to Roger to get even with him, because, you know, their mother liked Roger better than him.
Right.
So there's that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do we know that there's no innater involved in capturing the executive?
He's tied up with rope. I mean...
Haha, made you carry your own trap.
I mean... Yeah,
they're both tied up with rope.
Yeah, they're both tied up with rope. I mean, we already had the paper cut-inator. What is he going to make? The rope rope-inator? I don't know. I mean... It's not like Doofenshmirtz is, you know, going to go out and rope, you know, he's not going to be roping the wind with Garth Brooks over here, for crap's sake.
Oh, dear. You had to bring that up.
Hey, that's going to come in later, because he wants to capture the country western vibe. So, with yodel, 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 obey me. So, as much as you hate country western music, I'm sure you're going to absolutely love that episode.
I'm not a fan. Not really a fan, you know?
Oh, God. Let's see. What else did I have for this one? I love... This is the episode where Irving and Albert come back together and they're on two different sides. And, of course, Phineas and Ferb are going to be on two different sides of the thing. And I just love how they start this inter-genre geek war. And all the speckies are saying why theirs is better. And Ferb is still standing by Phineas. And next thing you know, he's walking over to the Finkies. And Albert's like, as it should be.
Inter-genre geek war.
Yep.
I don't. You know, I've seen a lot of. I mean, we've participated in this before. Of like, which is better, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars one.
Star Wars. Yeah. But I've never. We have to dig up a link to that old episode because we were.
I will. Yeah.
We were right.
Yeah.
But there's. I rarely see anybody say anything about. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I was about to say, unless it's Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And what it wasn't Mallrats, it was
Chasing Amy or Dogma.
It might have been Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
I forget, but it was like, you know, there's no, it was
Clerks 2. It was Clerks 2. That's what it was.
Clerks 2. That's right. Because there's only one trilogy.
There's only one trilogy. You know, there's only one ring.
That's funny. That's the draw they got to.
Well, it says on under Illusions on the wiki that it is a full on Star Wars thing for the Speckies, but for the Finkies, it's a combination both of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. I just can't get into either one of those franchises. I have absolutely no interest. At age 14, I tried reading The Fellowship of the Ring because my dad found some. He used to work for a bus company here in Louisville, and he would, you know, as being part of, you know, the shop crew and the shop foreman and stuff, sometimes he would clean the buses out, or he used to actually drive motor coaches. So, you know, find stuff and bring it home if it never got claimed. And at age 14, I could not get past Bilbo, or however the hell you say his name, his 111st birthday. Just say he's 100. Just say he's 111 damn years old.
111st. You know, the funny thing about Tolkien, though, is that he never did anything the way you expected him to.
Yeah.
You know, what's the plural of elf?
Elfin.
Well, you would say elves, right? But he wrote it ELFS.
Oh, elves. And yeah, okay.
He wrote it as elves. And same with, like, dwarves. And if you tried to go in and change it, you know, he'd throw a fit. He'd be like, no, because the editors would go in and try to change his text. And he'd be like, no, this is how it's supposed to be.
Hmm.
This is the right way to spell it. And it's like, well, who says? I say. It's my, my book. I'm going to tell you how to spell it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's always doing stuff like that that, you know, sets him apart.
And you're right. Jeff McGarland is a spoof of Seth MacFarlane. Ugh, God, that
talentless
guy.
Hack.
Yep. He's even more of a hack than Hack Snyder is, and Hack Snyder is the biggest hack of them all.
You know, there's going to be a lot of people who get aggravated by this, but Seth Green, I think, is a little overdone, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know,
we
get Robot Chicken, and the Turtle series
so
ended.
Much
well, the current Turtle series ended. It's ending after season 5, and they're rebooting it and doing something else. But the 2012 season series, the 2012 series that started,
that is
you
a
had
cool series.
You had Jeff or not Jeff? Oh, God damn it!
Seth Green.
No. Well, you had the pie fucker as Leonardo at first. You had Jason Biggs as Leo for the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then in season 3, between season the season 2 finale and the season 3 premiere, Leo gets hurt in the series, and they use that to tell the story of why the voice actor changed.
Why
so
his voice changed?
Yeah. and then Seth Green took over Leo from season 3 to the current. It's all right. There's like two movies of Seth Green's that I can watch on loop only because I absolutely love the movies, and it's not mainly because of him. One of them is 1993's Airborne with Shane McDermott and Brittany Powell. Chris Conrad's also in that. And 2003's Italian Job with Wahlberg and Charlize Theron.
Oh, that's right. He was Napster.
Yeah, he was the Napster. That's right. He got the name because I was taking a nap.
So dumb. Anyway.
Back to Phineas and Ferb.
You know, I was going to say Candace and her ducky mama. Back to the sea story. So Candace, you know, she seems like marginalized because she likes Ducky Momo, and yet there's an entire wing of the convention specifically for Ducky Momo stuff. And she runs over there and she says, you know, I have to find something that I don't already own. I can emphasize with that. I've been there. You know, I'm going to the convention to get a collectible merchandise that I don't already have. Good luck. I've so been there. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sad.
It's like when
well,
you show up
luckily, you luckily you don't have to worry about it anymore because you know last year, BotCon came to Louisville and Kentucky killed BotCon. So I mean, you know,
killed it dead.
I mean, you know, you can try going to HasCon, but I bet you get a disease going in there. I'm serious. There was a news story a while ago, the end of 2016, beginning of 2017, about Hasbro potentially buying out Mattel. And I've said this to you off air before. I'm like, oh my God, they could so call the company, if Hasbro had bought Mattel, they could call the company Hazmat. That would be a lot of lawsuits. Yep, exactly.
Oh boy. So the end of the show, there's a huge LARP.
Huge, yeah.
Live action role play.
Yep.
This is where LARPing got started.
No.
I saw this on TV and went,
no.
That in the park.
No. LARPing was around before Phineas and Ferb, I think. I mean, because that's the thing. Like, for me, as a kid, we used to LARP Transformers all the time. But we didn't... Back in the 80s, it wasn't called LARPing. It was just called...
You were not what? Dressed up as a Transformer.
Oh, okay, we weren't dressed up, no. But we would say, oh, I'm this character, or I'm that character. And we would try to emulate the character. But it was still role-playing. It just, we weren't dressed up. You're right. But, you know, back in the 80s, when things made fucking sense...
Yeah.
We called that, you know, make-believe and you know, imagination, using your imagination. I mean, you know, the movie tagline, beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. I mean, come on! And now it's called live-action role-play. Give me a break.
There's a distinct difference between saying, I'm Optimus Prime, and you get to be Megatron. Pew, 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 you know, versus actually dressing up as Optimus Prime and Megatron and fighting in the park.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think that would be cool to see. But, you know, it's just that there's a difference. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Hold on to your artistic integrity, Doof. Don't let them tell you.
Yeah. I'm looking here. I'm trying to find when it actually started. I'm looking for a year here. LARP goes back prehistory.
LARP.
Yeah. Well, we all know what the first LARP was, Cowboys and Indians. I mean, come on, everybody did that.
You know, again, there's a difference between saying I'm a cowboy and you're an Indian versus, you know,
Well,
actually dressing up as cowboys and Indians.
I remember when my friends and I did Cowboys and Indians when we were little kids, you know, we would have fake toy guns and fake, you know, bows and arrows and things, but we didn't dress up, but still kind of the same thing. I mean,
Okay, yeah. Sorta. I mean, honestly, I see LARPing and, you know, just playing make believe as two different things. Yeah, you know, because again, you're not dressed up. You're not wearing the costume. Where's your plus
So,
five Vorpal longsword? Oh,
according to, and again, Wikipedia, take it with a grain of salt. American LARPs have no single point of origin, although many of the groups still in operation can claim a lengthy history among live combat groups. Let's see, this one was started around 1977, the Dagor Outdoor Improvisational Battle Games. Was about night, so it's about 40 years old, I would say. So Phineas and Ferb did not; they might have reignited the interest in LARPing with this episode, but they did not.
This isn't invented.
Yeah, they didn't invent it. It was a thing way before Phineas and Ferb, 30 years before Phineas and Ferb.
This is funny. I almost bought a t-shirt. It was yesterday, yeah, yesterday or the day before. It had the Dungeons and Dragons box art from the first Red Box, the original. It was like an intro edition rules, and I was like, that is so cool. But the original box was red, and this was a black t-shirt, so I was like, oh, I'm torn. My integrity is being tested here. Do I pass on this because it's not a red box? It's red t-shirt. So yeah, I passed on it. I refused to pay more than $10 for a t-shirt.
Then I guess you don't buy anything from Ripped Apparel, do you?
You know, no, I haven't.
So I think we've mentioned this before, but I don't remember. When Albert first debuted, he's voiced by Batman.
What?
Diedrich Bader
Not
is the
my
voice.
Batman.
Hashtag not my Batman,
Not
yeah.
my Batman. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't see Kevin Conroy.
Yes, exactly. Irving's older brother Albert is voiced by Diedrich Bader, aka Oswald from the Drew Carey Show, who also voiced Batman in Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. Oh, cool.
Stacy's in this episode, but she's only an owl. Oh no, that's next. That's tomorrow. Stacy's in this episode because she has to come over to Candace's. Yeah, no. Stacy, it's tomorrow. It's Wizard of Oz. I'm getting them mixed up. Damn
That's
it.
fine. I get it.
What else? What else about nerds?
One of my favorite lines was "Transport him away."
Whoosh,
And then the
whoosh,
nerds are
whoosh,
sitting
whoosh,
around,
whoosh.
woof, 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 woof.
Yeah.
They're making the sound effects and the lights. So you can't actually say that this was just Star Wars because there's no transporting in Star Wars. It's Star Trek. And that, and I thought a lot of the costumes were very tricky.
No, maybe some of the other some of the background characters, but clearly Irving is R2-D2, and clearly
Oh, yeah.
Phineas is a play on Luke Skywalker.
With that helmet? Are you serious?
Yeah, with that helmet.
That no, that to me looked like 1940s Buck Rogers. That was like some
Okay.
retro stuff right there.
Leave it up to the debate for the fans. So,
All
I
right.
guess I
I'm gonna go on the
don't
wiki and put 1940s Buck Rogers.
know.
40s, 50s, somewhere in there, back
Please,
before light
Phineas and
color.
Ferb Wiki, be careful of name Pecan Court Michael. Oh God. What else did you like about Nerds of a Feather?
I mean, it's nice that there are several you know, storylines going on here. Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like you've got short shrift, because he had enough going on.
Mm-hmm.
With that TV, I mean, the TV show was so interesting. And it was such a cool like play on 80s tropes and TV shows and stuff like that. I liked Kevin Smith. Oh, it's always nice to see Kevin Smith, especially when they, you know, they riff off of his background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I really want to direct. yeah, and anyone who's gonna watch this, I shouldn't really say this, but anyone who's gonna watch this as an adult, let's say, is either really interested in sci-fi or really interested in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience, most people are both.
Mm, kind of like Ferb. Ferb likes them both.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb, they're both like, hey, cool, man. I like it. Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Me, I'm more of make a damn choice. Choose it. Me, I'm more of an X-Men 3 Wolverine, you know.
Oh.
Choose your side. It's like,
see, now it's more like
giant robots or army men. I think I'll take the giant robots over the army men.
See, now you're starting to sound more like Chrissy. You get one collection.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, okay, so there's several different cartoon series over the years, but it's like, you know, you either, you know, for me it was like, what is
Buck Rogers?
That's not Buck Rogers.
No, it's Lee. What's her name? Ah, criminy. Erin Gray.
Okay.
Erin Gray was the actress who played her.
Okay.
In Buck Rogers, but
Okay. Yeah.
Can't remember the character's name though.
Skin tight vinyl, yay.
Yeah, man, it was a 60s show.
Yeah, I know. but it's like, for me, it was always a cartoon choice. You know, Transformers or G.I. Joe. Mask or whatever you'd pair up with Mask. Speed Racer or whatever, you know. Thundercats or Voltron. I like both Thundercats and Voltron. Jim or She-Ra. Well, after going through all 93 episodes of She-Ra, I prefer Jim overall. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I like a lot of different stuff, but, you know, in my mind, you know, Transformers...
There could be only one.
well, with Transformers, while they may not have been the quote-unquote first robot cartoon, they are the better, higher-class robot cartoon compared to the GoBots.
Well, nobody ever got murdered in the face on GoBots.
That's because they were lame. They are the Kmart versions of Transformers. They're the ghetto versions of robots for everybody.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue. All right.
Well, you don't have a GoBots collection, do you?
I have a few.
Just let the kids play with them.
Yeah, I've got them in a bucket. The kids can strew them about in the sandbox.
He'll let his sons play with GoBots, but they go anywhere near his Transformers, he will bite their hands off.
They are covered behind a glass partition, so they can't touch them.
Wait, I thought I
pulled a couple out for pictures, and I had to unlock the glass doors, and I almost forgot how.
I was going to say, aren't they behind glass and lots of wood?
Yeah. It's like wooden, big, heavy oak doors with wood or with the glass inserts. And Jesus. So, yeah, I unlocked it, pulled out a couple toys, and was holding them side by side with some of the Titans Return figures.
Oh, my God. Oh. We talked about this last time. I think I cut it out at the end because it was after the show a couple days. I think it was after Summer Belongs Here, whatever the hell it was. We got to talking about toys. Have you seen Titans Return Trypticon?
Pictures, yeah.
This thing is fucking huge.
Yeah.
They took the original and just basically upscaled it 4,500%.
Yeah, I can't wait to own one. You know what I have is I have the Metroplex, I have the Fort Max, I have the Devastator.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the box. I haven't taken them out yet.
Of course they're in the box. It's because you like, you know, keeping stuff in a box.
Basically.
You're at 44 years old, you've turned into a mint in box or mint on card collector.
That's not entirely true, because all my basically the deluxe figures for Titan Returns, there mm-hmm. I have a shelf for them. Mm-hmm. I've got an Autobot shelf and a Decepticon shelf, and I got a little place off to the side where I put the little headmasters. They are fun to play with.
Oh God, that's one of the.
I just got Perceptor a few days ago, and I'm so happy with them. It's just really cool.
That is one of the things. I watched my buddy Optibotomus' video review of Trypticon. You know how they have the...
Trypticon?
He's got it.
Anyway.
Anyway. No. Don't even. But okay. I was watching Optibotomus' video review of Trypticon, and part of Trypticon's gimmick is... He can eat the headmasters, and they actually go inside the robot. Like they
There's
go down.
There's a little jail in there. Yeah. I saw that.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, it's a cool gimmick. I dig it. I like it. He doesn't walk on his own though, right?
No.
Ah, see now, can't have everything.
No, but you know.
See, if they make a new Mega Supreme, he better walk.
I don't think with the size that Trypticon is, I don't think making him walk robotically would work, because Optibotomus compared him to the original, and he had the original one walking, and the original one walks slower than a damn tortoise.
Oh yeah, yeah. He kind of shuffles a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like this is like Night of the Living Dead shuffle, you know? He's just like.
Yeah. So. We've kind of nerded out on everybody here with toys and transport. Yeah. We get into these things every now and then when we'll get on a tangent, folks, and we'll talk for an hour and a half about the tangent.
We're just gonna cut all that out.
Yeah. No, we're gonna leave it in. So. Nerds of a Feather, absolutely enjoyed it. Thought it was a great episode. Thought it was a fun, funny episode. This is, I've said this to you several times, and you're like, what the hell does that mean? There's a point in here that the argument explodes to the point of, at the end of it, Phineas quotes, it's like this character said this in Space Adventure, blah, 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 Glorf. And they have this little music thing in the Glorf! And I know I've said this to you, and you're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, it's a Phineas and Ferb thing. Phineas says it in one of the episodes. So that's where I got Glorf.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, God.
Now we'll never stop saying it.
I don't know. All right, folks, we are going to take a quick break, come back to close the show after this.
Glorf.
Glorf!
All right, we are back, and one thing we forgot to do at the bottom of the Nerds of a Feather was to rate the episode 0 to 5. What are you going to give Nerds of a Feather?
I was going to give it a 4.
Same here, 4s all around.
Really good.
Yep, really good. Having all three stories, Candace and the convention, the A and the C story tie in a lot more to each other, obviously, because, I mean, you know... Charge! Quack, 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 quack. Yeah, you know, and she interrupts the battle of the nerds here.
That's right.
You know, and then, charge again! You know, so hers is more of a Fishtailer story into the A story. And Doof's is, I like the Doofenpuss story, but it's just kind of there. Normally we have an innater to Fishtail into cleaning something up, but because this was Phineas and Ferb and special effects and Kevin Smith, we didn't need an innater here to clean up the story. We just needed Candace waving a magic wand, kind of like she's Medusa or something.
Medusa had a wand?
I was making reference to the Chariot episode. Is at the end of that. They're like, oh my God, she's going to turn people to stone. Okay. Folks, I think okay, I friggin' Bob, I think okay is going to be the new catchphrase of this show now. I don't think Bob and Tiana show up again, though. I'm not sure if they do. They might show up in the series finale. But yes, Nerds of a Feather, fours all around. Absolutely dug it. Thought it was great. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Be sure to comment on this and all the other Palka episodes, as well as all the other podcasts that we do over there. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow at geekcastradio for all the other network updates. I am at TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the episode of Palka today and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next two-parter, which is The Wizard of Odd. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Pecan Court Michael.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Transport him away.
Oh, crap. That's funny.
But wait, there's more.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.